Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday afternoon, and this is Pause IM Radio. We're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today's program are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. We'll be taking your calls and speaking with our featured member of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to phone in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Robert. I am your host, and I'm excited. My co-host is joining me this evening. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Oh, my God. I'm so much better.
Can well, I'm glad you're back, man.
Are you kidding? I'm glad I'm back. I was on the couch and in bed for like a week. I couldn't speak for like 3 or 4 days. And let me tell you, Mark loved that. Because, you know, the only thing that he didn't like is that he would be in another room and I would text him every 20 minutes. Can you come in and see me? You know, when I get sick, I get a little needy and whiny a little bit.
Oh, I totally understand. I'm a big mama's boy. You know what I mean? When I get sick, I'm the worst. Like, when I had my teeth pulled, I was the biggest baby.
Joe hated it. I want to be taken care of.
Yeah, I hear you. Don't
we
all?
Take care of me.
So I'm excited. Tonight we're going to have our featured blogger of the month of September. Dave's going to be on. So I'm excited about that.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, he's had some pretty good posts throughout the month, so we're going to talk a little bit on that, ask him some personal questions, you know, get to know a little bit more about him. The one thing that I did want to mention real quick before he comes on is that I don't know if anyone's noticed, but I posted what I call a vlog, and it's a video blog. What it is, basically I upload a picture, a video to YouTube or to the PauseIM community, and I kind of just did like a little like video and posted it as my blog. I figured, actually, I uploaded my picture to YouTube, and you know Nick, who's from the United Kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she
I was just
typing it, and she had this thing on that video on there called PauseIM Shoutout, and I was like, I've never seen this. So I went and looked at it. She left this cute little message in her little accent inside her kitchen. It was so wonderful that I thought it would be a great thing to have the community start doing, and I noticed Linda did it last night. And it's just posting a video up. It's a little bit more personal, I think. It allows people to actually see your personality. It's kind of hard to connect with somebody when you're just reading their words. You know what I mean? For me, I need to see them, and I think it's a better way, more personal, for them to connect. So I advise anyone who's a part of the PauseIM community, make a video. It's fun. I act like a nut. but don't watch it now. I do. I act like a real nut in the beginning.
Sometimes you don't. Joy goodness. Okay.
So what have you done in the last week? We weren't here. I was away. It was my partner's birthday, and we were in Atlantic City. We didn't come home millionaires, but it was really cool. We went and saw Alanis Morissette on Friday, third row, which was it was amazing. We had third row from the stage, and she's like, when she sings, she's like, she looks like she's possessed. You know what I mean? Like, she rolls her eyes in the back of the head. Joe acts like she's, like, tuning a spirit through her as she's singing because she's so, like, she doesn't look at anybody. She's just, like, out there with her eyes rolling in the back of her head.
Maybe she's Pentecostal.
There you go. Maybe.
Well, that sounds like fun. I'm glad you guys had a good time. As for me, I just got better. I convalesced, really. Antibiotics and all kinds of things, and just kind of took it easy, and I slept a lot. And so this past week, I got back into the office and got back to work and all that stuff. So I feel so much better. I feel like me again. Yay!
You don't sound like the author anymore.
No, I sounded like the Arthur for a little while, yeah. It wasn't attractive.
You know what, I had something come up the other day, and I just want to ask you what you think about it. I was hanging out, and I don't know if it's you know, having HIV, but I find myself, I get tired very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'll be sitting around with people, and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. And they look at me like, oh, you went to work for 3 hours today and got up at 11? And it just, to me, I get very exhausted so quickly. Do you notice that you get like that too?
I think for the most part, sometimes I do. It depends on the day. Today I've been a slug, and I slept. Gosh, I woke up at 9:30. I had breakfast. I went back. I fell asleep on the couch. But for the most part, sometimes I do feel overly tired. But you know, and honestly, our bodies are fighting a virus. You know, so yeah, you know, you're gonna get tired. But I think for me, I think the, you know, being on meds and making some lifestyle changes and diet changes, and well, not really diet changes, but I still like all the junk. But anyway, I seem to not be as tired as I used to be. But I think you know, as your body is trying to fight this thing, and you get tired.
Yeah, it probably has a lot to do with me not exercising like I used to either.
Yeah.
Because I used to, I mean, I played soccer twice a week, you know what I mean? And now I haven't played, really, I haven't touched the soccer ball in a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been that long.
How'd
it's just so busy with work. And then, you know, it's like an hour drive to go play soccer for an hour and a half. And then it's like, uh-huh, the gas, is it worth it? You know what I mean? Like to drive an hour and come home an hour to play for an hour and a half. It's just, you know, life, you get caught up in life. You know?
Yep, I do. I thought I lost you there for a minute.
Yeah, that's fine. One of the things I'm going to actually try to work out for next week is I want to try to find a way to get sound effects. I want to see if there's a way that I can add it to the show so I could do, like, cool sound effects. You know, like, press my little button.
Oh, no. We're going to turn into one of those horrible morning shows. Hey, everybody. And it's your drive time with... Who are we? Mark and Jeremy and Rob and everybody. And then you hit a little button, right? Oh,
mm-hmm.
God.
A little din din din.
Oh, Lord. So you know, I want to just kind of, I get a, you know, I'm trying to stay up on all the stuff that's going on with HIV and things, and obviously. But something actually popped up out of Detroit, and what was interesting is the headline is, "When Sex Could Be Deadly Should Friends Reveal a Husband's Affairs?"
Good question.
And it's what is the responsibility of adults who know a divorced woman having an affair with a married man and fooling around with other men sometimes in the same day. So this, it's one of those like Dear Abby things.
Right.
And so let me read you what this woman writes. She writes, "Dear Carolyn," or maybe it's not a woman, it might be a man. This person writes in, "What is the responsibility of adults who know of a divorced woman having an affair with a married man and also fooling around with other men sometimes the same day? DW is having a number of one-night stands and continuing her affair with married man who has hesitated in leaving his wife. People in the know are told to stay silent, even in this day of STDs and HIV. Simply put, someone could get killed. What courtesy does MM's wife get, married man's wife, should the people in the know continue their silence and hope for the best that MM's wife doesn't come down with a disease infection from DW's selfish behavior? Signed, Moral Question."
Wow.
So, let me read you the response, because it's a whole interesting dynamic, and I think it raises a good, you know, a good topic for, you know, for us to kind of chit chat a little bit about. She said, "Dear Moral, not a blunt, not to blunt a good hysteria, but hasn't sex throughout history had the potential to get someone killed? Sexually transmitted ailments are not a new development. HIV merely raised the stakes. I do agree that because of those raised stakes, silence is at best a problematic choice and at worst lethal. However, I don't believe HIV demands a blanket honor code where everyone is duty-bound to tell everyone everything. There is still a place for knowing one's place. The closer people are to the drama, the greater their obligation to intervene. Wielding only the facts as always, the divorced woman's close friends, for example, need to call her out. The married man's close friends need to call him out on what they know, and shame on the married man's wife's close friends if they're standing her in, if they're stranding her in the dark. With rare exceptions, truth-telling is at most effective when the truth comes from the person who knows you best. That's hardly a perfect system, though. So to prevent herd paralysis, where everyone thinks everyone else has it covered, your adults need to ask themselves, if it's not my place to say something, then whose place is it? And will those people come through as I hope they would come through for me? Still imperfect, but it does introduce accountability, a powerful referee.
Wow. That's kind of interesting that you say that because, or read that top, that, you know, article that you found, because a friend of mine just the other day came up to me and said, you know, I have, she's my friend, but she's like, I know somebody who's not really my friend. She's like her friend's friend, you know what I mean? So it's like her second friend, if you want to call it that. And she's dating a guy, and the guy has HIV. And, uh-huh. And like, my friend knows this because I don't know if they're friends with the guy or what, but she knows this, and she's like, he hasn't told this girl that he's dating yet. Do you think I should? And me, as somebody who actually has HIV, I think different than somebody who doesn't have it. You know what I mean? I was like, well, at first I was like, yeah, but, you know, maybe he's just not ready to tell her yet, and maybe it hasn't gotten that far. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think everybody should be putting their nose in places they don't belong. I don't know. Like, I personally, if it was my friend, I don't know. See, it's very hard. But that just happened, like, 2 weeks ago, so it's really weird that you read that. That, like, you know what I mean, well, should we referee it?
You know, and that's, because, again, what's disturbing is that it's not so much, it's really vilifying, you know, to me, I think it's vilifying HIV, and or people who have HIV. And it comes down to personal accountability. One, the married man is having an affair. Two, the divorced woman is having an affair with other people. So, I mean, there's obviously some sort of accountability that each of those people need to take.
And, you know what? Let's bring Dave on and ask Dave what he thinks about it, because he's absolutely...
Is he here?
Yeah, Dave,
Hello.
Are you there?
This is Dave.
Hey, Dave, how's it going, man?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. Welcome to the Pause I Am Radio Show.
I kept dialing the wrong number.
Hey, Dave, it's Jeremy. How are you?
Hey, Jeremy. I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing?
How y'all doing? I hear that southern drawl.
No, I don't have no southern drawl.
I heard y'all. Southern
but,
to me.
Huh?
Southern to me because I'm in Pennsylvania. You're still Southern.
Yeah, you're a Yankee, so.
So were you listening before you called in?
I've been trying to get the phone to work.
Oh, okay.
I'm not very in-depth when it comes to electronics.
Well, Jeremy, do you want to tell them a little bit about what you were saying, or do you want to just...
Well,
I don't want to...
Why don't we just jump in and we can talk about it a little bit later.
Okay. Sounds good. So first, Dave, I want to thank you for being the feature blogger this month. I mean, we've read a lot of your blogs, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. One of the things that you first talked about was the one that you put on the stigma, and you brought up... Jeremy just went, and we looked at it today before the show started. It was the AIDS Mapper site.
Yes.
And how... horrifying that is.
It is. That's my big thing with when I found out I was HIV positive was the whole stigma thing, and I still have a problem with that. Larry has really helped me with because he does a lot of talks when it comes to the AIDS and HIV education, and to where I can become more empowered with myself, to where the stigma is not is frightening as it used to be. If that makes any sense at all.
It does. So through, you know, looking at your blogs and stuff, do you think that writing about it and talking about it more helps decrease the stigma that you might feel?
It does. I believe any way of getting any kind of education out there will help anybody out. The internet nowadays is through anything, even through our presidency, presidential race right now. Everything is going to the internet, and people that are, if you're able to get out there and write about who you are, then you're able, I think, to overcome the stigma, with whether it's with race or being having any kind of chronic illness.
And what? How did you find? I'm going to jump all over the place here a little bit. I'm going to end up sounding like, Sarah Palin on an interview.
You're crazy.
I can see Russia now.
I can see Russia from my house. Can you see Russia from your house, Dave?
I can see Moscow. Is that in Russia?
What, you used to live there?
No, I can see Moscow.
Oh, okay.
So Dave, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Let's see.
How did you come to find Pause I Am and all that stuff?
Well, I found Pause I Am through my partner, Cowboy Larry. He's my lifeline. And it showed me the website, and because I was having problems with, I had just came out of a bad relationship, and that's a long story there, but I had went back into the closet when it came to my my status and everything, and so he said I want to introduce you to a website to where it's for people that. They're looking for friendships and education to where you can better be aware of the illness that you have, and so through him, that's how I found the site. And have
we love Larry, just so you know, Dave. He's awesome.
Oh man, he is.
You got a good man there.
I was blessed. The Lord really blessed me whenever He brought him into my life.
And how long have you been with Larry?
We were 6 months, October the 13th.
Ah.
6 months, so, wow.
Yes, we're still newlyweds.
Golly, in gay years, that's like 10 years.
For me, I usually stay in a relationship about a year, so this is going good.
Then you get tired, right?
Then I get cold feet and run.
I think that's great, though, that you were able to find somebody that you were able to connect with and really find that support with. You know, I think that's one of the keys to surviving this virus is finding that support system. And so, do you have a strong support system in where are you, Tennessee?
Yeah, in Knoxville. Yeah, well, yes, we really do here. With Larry, I was in denial for so long that where it was like being gay. I thought that, you know, I put it to the back side of my mind. And with Larry, he is so proactive in the community, and he showed me that there's so many outlets out there. We go to a great support group here in Knoxville. And he and I are fixing to start another one in Maryville, which is about 30 minutes from here. And so, and we have, what is it called? Hope Center is another. They do a lot for the community. It's ran just through donations, and so we have a great support system here in Knoxville.
Sounds good. I have a question for you. I mean, I don't know if you want to call it that, but how? I mean, you live out in Tennessee, right?
Yes.
So, do you guys have a farm? I'm not saying that you have to have a farm. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? A cowboy associated with farming. And we have a lot of cowboys in the Posaim community, which is great. And they all came from Larry, you know what I mean? And
exactly.
People, and it's amazing. But, like, what's it like being a cowboy? You know what I mean? What's it like to go out there on the, do you have a ranch or animals?
No, we are looking for that aspect here right now. Larry moved here from Iowa, and so we're in the process of looking through that. But the farming thing is my dream. He grew up on a farm, and I grew up in a rural community here in Tennessee. And so right now, no farming, no ranching right now.
Sounds good.
Let's count the cats.
Well, I hope you get that soon. It was just, I always wanted to be a cowboy, so it's kind of cool to me. You know what I mean? Like you know what
yeah.
I mean? When you played cowboy and Indians, I was a cowboy. We have cowboys and we have pirates. We have both.
Exactly.
Well, there's that song that I love, Save the Horse, Ride the Cowboy.
Oh, my God.
You would.
So that is the cowboy theme song there.
Now, Dave, a lot of people, The way that people get infected are all differently, and I don't want to get too personal, but do you think that your self-esteem played a role in you becoming HIV positive, and if, how so?
Well, I...
Sorry.
When I came out, I was very very cautious, and I went into a relationship with somebody that I thought I could trust, and I let my guard down there, and so through him I became positive, and so I think in a way my self-esteem was there because instead of following what I always deemed, you know, be safe, I let the pressure, I guess, there get me into trouble, if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
But my self-esteem dropped once after I found out of my status big time because I was outgoing. I became an introvert. I went away from everybody and just shut myself off.
Yeah, well, when you're first diagnosed, and especially I know I had really low self-esteem, you know what I mean, even before I was diagnosed, but it just pushes it down even more, and it pushed it all into denial. Where I denied it for years that I was living with this disease.
I'm coming up on my fifth year right now, and so I guess now I'm ready to get more active in the community. And
that's when it was when I started. When I started PosIM, I was in my fifth year.
And so it's like, you know, you hope it's like all a bad dream that's going to go away, and I think it's made me stronger because. Now I know that there are so many things that I'm capable of doing for myself, like being more proactive in my health care. And whereas before, it's when you go to the doctor, it's like, you know, you just go to the doctor. But now you really want to follow up with your numbers. You want to follow up with your better lifestyles. And so I guess it makes you have better choices when it comes to your living, daily living.
Yeah, it does. Jeremy, you got something you want to ask him?
I've got all kinds of things I want to
ask. I thought I lost you.
What's that?
I thought I lost you.
Oh no, I'm here. I'm listening and I'm thinking and I'm trying to, you know, So you know, self-esteem plays a big part, I think, in all of this. Where do you think, because you said you're going into your fifth year now and going to start getting into the community, mm-hmm. Do you think that your self-esteem is getting stronger now and you're becoming more aware of your sense of self and that that's giving you a little bit more, and obviously Larry is giving you the courage and the strength to push forward, but what about you? Where, you know, because it takes a lot of courage to blog like you have been, because you've got some really great posts and some great articles that you've written. So do you think your self-esteem is getting stronger and that you're able to push the stigma aside and move forward?
Yes. There's good days and bad days. When I first came out, I mean, when I first found out that I was of my status, I was working a job to where there was a lot of accidents, and so I thought, you know, I've got to let my people know there about what I have. Well, that was a bad mistake for myself, because then that's when the stigma started, and so now it's like the whole fear thing started. But now it's I think I've become more empowered to where I'm able to step out of the shadows now a lot easier than I was before. I'm able better now to help the person going through what I went through when I first found out. So I think, yes, that I have become, I am becoming stronger in that, and that the stigma is still there, but it's not as prevalent as it was before.
That makes sense. Now, do you want to start speaking like Larry does?
I'm really shy when it comes to the talking. It was everything I could do to call on this telephone right now. I'm serious.
I think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. One-on-one, I'm great. I would love to be able to get up in front of a group of people and be able to educate, because that is what is going to make us stronger, and that is what is going to help us do is the lectures and the speaking that like my partner does. He just came back from getting a lecture on depression with HIV and AIDS, and it's something that there's so many people out there that they just don't know their options. They don't know, well, you know, I'm going through this because of this, and so I would love to get to that point. Hopefully, I will pretty soon.
Well, I think you're well on your way. I mean, it took a lot of courage for you to call in and be interviewed by a couple of nuts like us. So congratulations on that.
Right?
Y'all are touched.
Now, is there something certain out there, Dave, that gives you hope?
What's that?
Because we all kind of live for hope. Is there something out there that gives you hope besides Larry?
Well, yeah, I talk about Larry a lot because he is like the love of my life. So,
absolutely.
I really adore him. But my faith is my higher power. That that's what keeps me going. We have, you know, whether it be Muhammad, Buddha, whoever, it's my higher power. I look for my guidance there.
Right.
I think that's important. You know, we touched on a little bit on that a couple of weeks ago about talking about spirituality and our HIV infections, how spirituality can be very, very, it can be very strong in leading somebody, you know, really helping someone. And I think that's inspiring that you're able, you have that connection. Because there are some people that don't. There are a lot of people
right.
that gave up on it and said, you know, God, Gandhi, Buddha, Hindi, whoever you are up there, why did you let this happen to me? Did you feel angry? Did you blame God?
That when I first found out, I thought I was cursed. I thought because I had been raised in an evangelical. Well, I went to an evangelical church. Mm-hmm. The Assemblies of God, you know, they were very down on the homosexuals, and that's when I came out in my church, I was kicked out of my church, and they were like, "Well, this lifestyle is going to kill you." And 5 years later, I found out, you know, here I am, I have HIV, and so I'm like, okay, God has cursed me. I'm going to die from this, and so I blamed Him. I was so angry that I didn't believe in anything. And so I was able through finally get back in touch with my spirituality. And that has brought me out of the darkness that I was in, because whenever you find, you deal with so much anger when you find out that you're positive. There's anger for the person that did this to you. There's anger for your God that allowed this to happen to you. You know, there's so many things that you become angry at. And then you become angry at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get past the anger, then you're able to relive your life. Because it's almost like a death. You know, you go through that grieving process, and you have this new life, and you just learn that your life, you're sharing it with this virus. That, you know, it doesn't consume you. You tell it what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You take control over it. And so I think that was once we're able to get past that anger, then life does become better. And it's easier said than done, but it does become better.
Now, when you were talking earlier, you were saying higher power. And when you say higher power, that reminds me back when I was in Narcotics Anonymous and I had, you know, some issues that I had to deal with, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, and if it's too personal to say it, but were you in recovery?
Too
is that
personal.
Why you say higher power?
No, I say that I have some family members that went to Narcotics Anonymous, and so I'm very familiar with the 12 steps, and so I say higher power. Mine is God. I
right.
said higher power, so that way it includes everybody's beliefs there.
Good point.
I don't want to separate anybody from out, because, you know, I studied Buddhism for a while, and so it's, you know, I believe that whatever gets you to the point to where you're going to, then that is your higher power.
Right, and you can call it whatever you want, as long as you
exactly.
believe in something, right?
As long as you... But if you believe in the dust on the wall, then that's your higher power.
Right. Just have some belief.
Exactly.
Hey, I just wanted to remind everybody out there that you're listening to Pause I Am Radio, and if you have a question for Dave, give us a call at 347-215-9442.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. I heard that.
Oh, Lord, he says. Oh, Lord.
Now, did you find after you found out about your status, I'm not sure of how the relationship worked out and when it was, but did you find that it was harder to date after you found out that you were positive?
I didn't date anybody for almost over a year now. Over a year to 2 years. It took me about 2 years before I finally got back to the dating scene. And then it was so hard because, you know, you have to think, you know, if I get close to this person, I've got to tell them about this. I've got to tell them my status. And so it's such a touchy subject, and it's so scary because you don't know how anybody's going to react to you. It's almost like you have that stigma, and you have that dark cloud hanging over your head. But then again, if the person is really interested in you, then they're going to date you. And, you know, I had the good things happen, and I had the bad things happen. I've had people... you know, be very angry and walk away, and I've had those that, you know, it's not a big deal for them.
Right. Do you find a certain moment that you'll tell, you disclose your status to, you know, the person that you're dating, or do you find that it was all different times that you were, like, telling people, like, you know what I mean? Some people do it, like, right before they're about to, you know, engage in whatever practice they want to practice. But, you know what I mean? Some people, you know, tell when they first meet, and, like, it's the first thing, one of the first things you say, or, like, do you have it set where you just kind of, when you're comfortable, you spit it out?
If it's a casual date, then, like, the first time you go out, and I don't. And then if I believe that it's going to become anything more than that, then that's when I disclose. And maybe I should disclose on the first date, but to me, that's something that it's on a need to know basis, I think. And I guess my rule of thumb is probably if you're going to see somebody three times, then it's going to be something serious. I mean, it's going to probably go farther than that. So then on the third date, whenever I would usually say, you know, I need to talk to you and tell you something. And if it upsets you that I didn't tell you earlier, I'm sorry, but, you know, this is how it is.
Right.
Well, you know, and my feeling is, you know, sex is always messy when you have to negotiate it.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's like, okay, so what are we going to do? Where are we going to do it? Are we going to do it at your house? And, oh, by the way, you know, it's there's so much pressure, you know, just for sex in general, let alone with having, you know, the HIV piece over the top of, you know, hanging over our heads.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's hard enough to perform, you know, when you're healthy, as you know, and not having, you know, HIV versus, you know, having to perform and say, oh, by the way.
The full body condom.
Exactly.
So did you say the people in your church, do you go to a church now that you go to?
Yes. We found in Spirit-filled, non-denominational gay church here in Knoxville. Well, actually, it's in Maryville. And we have a great little pastor that she and her partner are from Atlanta. They drive up every week from Atlanta. And they are awesome. And they are so open to getting stuff going with people that are HIV positive. Pardon me?
I said that's great.
Yeah, well, we had a dinner. We had supper with them last weekend, and we were talking to them about the support group that we're going to start in Maryville. And they're like, well, you can have any kind of meetings here at the church or whatever. And they made an announcement at the church because there are several people that go to the church there that are positive. And so it's, I guess, being in Knoxville is such a condensed area, there's a lot of people here that are positive. And but they're so closed off to themselves, and trying to bring them out to where they can socialize and get, because there's strength in numbers. And whenever you close yourself off, that's whenever the depression sets in. That's whenever the pity party sets in. And whenever you find people that are like you, you're able to thrive a lot better. I hope I'm making sense to y'all.
No,
well,
you are.
Dave, I got to tell you, I think you are absolutely an inspirational example of what can happen in smaller towns and in close-knit towns. That you're taking the steps and stepping out there in front and saying, "Hey, I have this too. If you're like me, come talk to me." I think that is absolutely commendable, and I just want to say congratulations to you on that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's very hard to put yourself out there.
It is. Absolutely. And you should take a lot of pride in that, because I think what you're doing is just absolutely fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, anybody have a question, give us a call. Talk to Dave at 347-215-9442. This is Jeremy, and we have Rob on the other line over there, and we've got Dave on our – and we're interviewing Dave from Tennessee. So if anybody wants to give us a call us tonight. Give us a call now.
Okay, I got a question for you all.
I always forget to mention that.
What's that?
I got a question for you all.
Okay.
Now, Rob, how long have you been positive now?
I have been positive for over 7 years.
Okay. And Jeremy, how long have you been?
11 years.
Okay. See, I think that's what really inspires me about Pause I Am is finding the people and that are on there that are long-term survivors. Because when I found out that I was positive, I thought I was going to die. And when I meet these people that have been positive for 19 and 20 and so on years, it's so inspiring to me because they have lived their lives and they're still living it. And you're able to see that you don't have to give up, that there is life after HIV.
Absolutely.
There is life
one
after
thing
HIV.
Yeah.
And during HIV.
Exactly.
I'm going to totally be a big cliche queen right now and, you know, just quote Auntie Mame, life is like the banquet and most sons of bitches are starving to death, so you have to live.
You're not right.
Something's not right.
You're not right.
Oh, goodness.
Your church congregation, I mean, so you're open about your HIV status there. Is right me saying that?
Yes, yeah. We told our pastors, Pastor Charlene and her partner Bubby, we told them. And we have a very mixed congregation. You know, it's balanced. There's half guys and half girls there. And I think when we went to this church, it was like I went home. I can't explain it. You know, growing up in the Pentecostal churches, to find a gay church that's Pentecostal just blew me away, because I never thought that could be a church like this. And for them to be so open and accepting and loving to people that are HIV positive and or have AIDS, or it just broke my heart.
Yeah, that's one thing that I don't see around here. I know we do have a couple gay churches that are up in the Philadelphia area. My one friend Mike, he's actually a part of the Pause I Am community. I believe he's some sort of I don't want to say it wrong, but he's one of those kind of people that give out to host and stuff like that. I don't know what you call those people exactly, but he's very involved and he's a very religious and spiritual person, and I admire that because I'm with somebody who's so very spiritual, and I struggle with it all the time. You know what I mean? Like, so to find a church like that, it has to be exactly what you said, like walking home.
It is.
Well, that's what a church is, right? It's community.
It's
what it's supposed to be.
Right, and it's supposed, and community is supposed to be supportive and loving, and encouraging, and inclusive, not exclusive. So,
exactly.
And I think what you found something that many, many people are looking for, and that's amazing.
It's to find something to a body of believers, whether it be whatever your belief is, that does not exclude anybody, whether it's for their sex or for any kind of ailment they may have, is something amazing. Because, like I said before, there's strength in numbers. You know, steel sharpens steel. And you have to have that camaraderie to make it through.
I'm going to watch this. I'm going to segue this back and say, I think that's what Pause I Am is. It's a community. I'm not putting the spirituality portion, you know, hat on this or anything. I think that's what Pause I Am does, is it brings people together who wouldn't normally come together.
exactly.
And have formed a community that is supportive of one another, that does encourage to live life to the fullest. I think that's what we all need.
We have every
in our life.
Yeah, there's every race on there, just about it. There's every
mm-hmm.
race. There's straight, gay, bi. There's women, men. It's everybody is together, and we're there in that community, and
mm-hmm.
we're able to support one another. So yes, I love Pause I Am.
Oh, thanks.
Well, it
makes me feel good when people talk about it like that. No, it does. It touches my heart because I just wanted friends. You know what I mean? I wanted friends who I could talk to and would understand why I was depressed one day and happy the next day. You know what I mean? So just hearing that, it makes my heart, like, get happy.
The best thing I think about it is it's not a hookup site. You can go in here and not have to worry about what's going on next door because everybody's there for the same reason, or you know, they're there to get support. They're there to find friends. They're there to find answers for what they have, and you don't have to worry about all the riffraff that goes along with the other sites that are out there.
Right.
And so, and I visited a lot, and whenever I found Pause I Am, I gave up everything else, and this is my home. This is where I come to now.
Oh. Yeah, see, I had a partner, so all those other sites that you think you could go on were never sites that were for me because it was always somebody trying to pick you up or
exactly.
sending you nude pictures, and it was just, like, annoying.
It is, because you would think that it was, like, people here trying to find friends when they're not trying to just find friends.
Right.
But
they're just trying to hook up.
Yeah,
right.
I hate that.
Like, that was fine when I was 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what I was, you know what I mean? That's what got me in this mess to begin with, AOL.
Exactly. AOL.
Oh, my.
Oh, Lordy.
Lordy, Lordy.
Lordy, Lordy.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, golly. So Dave, what other blog posts are you thinking about coming up with?
Well, I've been... My computer is so messed up right now, I can't get my page to work right. Larry's is fine, but mine's messed up. I don't know what I did. I would mess up anything electronic, I swear I will. I'm working on one, talking about from the time I came out to the time I found out I was positive. Because I was going to go into the seminary to be a pastor. And my, how it affected me to then and where I am now, how I have grown in these last 5 years to get to the point to where I am now, to where I can finally make a stand to say, this is who I am, this is what I have, I'm fine with it, and the God that I love is fine with it. And that's the blog that I'm working on right now.
Oh, great.
So,
sounds like a plan.
That sounds inspiring.
It's a plan.
Now,
yeah,
Dave, after 5 years, how do you now view your HIV status?
I view it as just nothing big to me. I take my meds. I'm not the most compliant. I'll be honest. I'm not the most compliant when it comes to taking meds. I'm not big on pills. I had to go back on them for a while, but it's such a I can't explain it. It's like I finally meshed with my status, with this little person that's living inside of me, and I've taken control of it now, and so I'm more comfortable with who I am, and it doesn't bother me as bad. So I hope that's what you wanted to hear there.
No, it totally makes sense. I mean, I kind of found myself in my, like, my accepted who I was after I became positive, and, you know what I mean, started to appreciate me. You know what I mean? Because before it was like, I didn't care about me. I was up to 4 hours in the morning, you know what I mean, and hearing the birds tweaking and everything. And I just, now it's like I found who I was.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And it sounds like you are a little bit like that.
It's,
no?
It's all about getting control of yourself. And whereas before was where I used to go out and party and do the reckless, you know, how we always do when we're young and dumb. I try to live more healthy. I still smoke like a freight train. That's one thing I've got to quit. But, you know, we all have our vices. I love myself more now to where, you know, I'm willing to say, okay, this is not good. If you want to live another 30 years, let's take another look at this.
I think that's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, right? And it's just even great because me and Jeremy can understand that you have, like, a partner that loves you and is going through this with you and helping you. And, like I said, me and Jeremy can relate to that.
You know what I mean?
We have that person.
I think it's pretty awesome because Larry is the first positive person that I've dated. Everybody else. I've been very fortunate, I guess, if you could say fortunate, to have people come into my life that were negative, that were accepting of my status. And so I guess I was trying to get away from my status. And so whenever Larry and I started dating, he's so proactive that it's shown me that, you know, how to make a stand and how to come to grips with my illness. And so, you know, he's my lifeline.
Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of nice to have someone who knows
exactly
what you're going through.
Because
I know in the past when I've dated negative guys, they could sympathize, but they couldn't empathize because
exactly.
They didn't know. They just don't know what you're going through. So, yeah. They know exactly what you mean there.
It's a wonderful feeling because, you know, whenever we can talk about the side effects, we can talk about the little things that people before, it's like, oh, I feel sorry for you. But whenever you know what somebody's going through, it's a heck of a lot different.
Exactly.
And it's probably... And I say this it's going to sound funny when I say it, but I mean it in all seriousness. But nowhere else, no one else understands why you're going to the bathroom as much as you do than someone else who's positive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Really, I thought I was the only one.
I gotta go right now.
That's why I hear the silence sometimes.
Exactly. Excuse me.
Oh, Lord. Don't flush.
Exactly. There's your sound effect, Rob. Get the toilet flushing.
So, Dave. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
Hold on.
And we're going to wait. Hello? Sounds like we're having some technical difficulties. Hello?
Hello?
I'm still here. I don't know what happened to Mr. Rob.
I'm still here.
Oh, there you are.
I'm just a little loud.
Rob's microphone cut out, everybody. I feel like I'm in the Oscars.
But the one thing I wanted to ask is, what advice would you give someone who is having trouble now accepting their diagnosis?
The biggest thing is find a support group. Find somebody that you can lean on. Because it is so hard when you're going through it by yourself. there are so many aspects, there's so many things that go through your mind that you think you're the only person that's going, that is this sick, that has to do this and do that. Find help. Find somebody that you can lean on and tell them how you feel and what you're going through. There are so many. The health department has got such vast resources that are free for anybody to get the support that they need.
I think that's solid advice.
It's
support. You know, everybody needs a support function. Everybody needs that support.
You have to. It's kind of like, you know, Rob mentioned before about the 12 steps. You have to have, whenever you have anything in your life that is consuming you, you have to have an outlet. You have to have a means of getting this out and to where you can grow, to where you can say, you know, I'm mad as hell and I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's there's so many people out there that can help. That and don't give up, because you're not the only person.
That's right. Just join the Paz I Am community.
Exactly.
You'll meet 174 of us.
there is some great people on there.
Yeah, there is. Dave, I want to thank you so much for calling in tonight. We have a couple minutes left. Is there any last things you want to say?
When's supper?
What'd you say?
I said, when's supper?
When's supper?
When's supper?
No, I want to thank you all for allowing me to call in, and thank you for featuring me. And I'm hoping to get better at the blogging more. And if there's...
You should create a blog.
What's that?
You should create a blog.
A blog?
A blog, a video blog.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
I thought you said blog to him, like he's already got one.
if I could figure out how to do it, I would.
Oh, gosh. Well, Dave, thank you so much for calling in. This was a splendid hour that we spent.
Absolutely.
And it was so nice to meet you.
Well, it's nice talking with you all, too. And give me a shout anytime.
All right.
Oh,
and tell Larry hello and give him a nice big hug for us.
He's in here listening to the radio station on his computer.
Okay, well, go give him a big bear hug.
Oh, I'll do it.
All right.
Have a
all
good
right,
night,
guys.
Dave.
You too. Talk to you later.
All
bye,
right.
Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
So, Jeremy, that was kind of cool, huh?
That was fun. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's amazing. And I, you know, I would read about him, and he's one of those, you know, he's just one of those people that I knew he had so much to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I was drawn to him, and I was like, you have to be featured. I want you to be the blogger, you know what I mean? And he was like, I'll do it. So it was just great. He was perfect. He didn't sound nervous at all.
He was great. And I think what's interesting is that his story is, when people hear this, they're just going to be inspired, I think, by him, because he's come along so far in such a short period of time that he's an amazing guy. I just, my hat goes off to him.
My cowboy hat.
I
mean, and it's great that he has Larry too.
Yes, it
you know
is.
What I mean?
Oh my gosh. Yep.
He's such a great guy, Larry.
Absolutely.
We'll have him
Absolutely.
On 1 week eventually, too. But we're down to the last minute. I just want to once again tell everybody you can visit Jeremy's website, positivelyspeaking.com, positively with a Z. You can visit my website, posiam.com, and you can join the PosIM community. We're here every Sunday at 9 p.m. Next week, the intro will be fixed, and it will say this evening and not this afternoon. And I just want to remind everybody that the Philly AIDS Walk is October 19th. It's a Sunday, and if you want to walk with the PosIM team, shoot me a letter. It'll be a year anniversary. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's crazy.
Well, I'm glad
All
you
right.
came back on today, Jeremy.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a good night.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.